you and I, we benefit from the exaltation of Christ because we are in Christ. And so the only limitation to your exaltation today is the limitation of Christ's exaltation. And we can praise God and we can worship God for that, because if we humble ourselves, we too, like Christ, will be exalted along with Christ.
Planting churches, preparing leaders, proclaiming the gospel till the whole world hears. This is the Grand Old Gospel Hour. Companion scripture to today's message is found in 1 Peter 9:6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. In other words, the way up is down.
Probably the most famous paradox that we have in scripture is in Matthew 16:25. Where Jesus told his disciples that whoever desires to save his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake, Jesus said, will find it. And you think about that and, you know, your mind, you just end up with a headache. That's a paradox. And the text here today gives us another paradox, because it teaches us that humility results in exaltation. And it's an interesting concept, because we think that in order to go up, you got to climb up. And what Paul is telling us here is that through the experience of Jesus Christ, in order to go up, you need to go down. The first thing I want you to see is in verse 9, it starts out with the word therefore. And every Bible teacher will tell you that when you see the word therefore, you have to go back and find out what it's there for. And so when we see the word therefore here in verse 9, we recognize that what he's doing is he is connecting the exaltation of Christ to the whole discussion of the humility of Christ. And so that whole emptying of Christ, making himself of no reputation, of Christ coming even to the death of the cross, that whole discussion of Christ's humility is being imported into verse 9. And what he says here in verse 9 is that, therefore, because Christ humiliated himself like that and humbled himself in that way, God also highly exalted him. And so his exaltation is a direct result of his humbling himself. We say today that what goes up must come down. But the biblical principle is that you must first come down before you go up. And the exaltation of Christ here is based on him humbling himself. In John chapter 3 and verse 13, Jesus was talked about by the apostle John. And in trying to argue for his deity there in that book, John says there that no one has ascended to heaven but he who has first come down from heaven. In other words, it's impossible to have an ascension of Christ unless you first have a descending Christ. He had to first incarnate himself into human form before he could be ascended back to heaven. And there are many, many stories and instances in Scripture, as you read the accounts of great men of God, that they first had to go through a process of humiliation before they were exalted. Just think about Moses. Moses was born there in the palace in Egypt. But before God could use him, he had to go out and spend time in the wilderness. He had to humble himself from his residence in the palace to some cave dwelling out there in the wilderness. Think also about David, because David was also one
who was there in Jerusalem, who hobnobbed with the king, Saul, and was best friends with his son, Jonathan. But God had to cause him to humble himself, to leave Jerusalem, find himself homeless, running from cave to cave out there in the wilderness until God could use him and elevate him even to the position of being king. Now, not all of us have to go through that same process of humiliation, that exact same humiliation experience. But I do want to tell you that there is and there has to be some humbling of ourselves before God can exalt us. We have to come to that place where we humble ourselves. And for believers in Jesus Christ, it means that we need to come to the place where we recognize that we are totally dependent on God. If you want a good definition for humility, it is recognizing that you are totally dependent on God. Every breath you take, every decision you make, every step you take, everything you do, you are totally dependent on Almighty God. And in order for you to be exalted by God and to qualify for God's exaltation, you have to come to that place where you humble yourself and recognize your dependence. You know, I say all the time that I roller skate, right? And I have all these illustrations that I get from my roller skating on my day off on Tuesday. And every skater will tell you that if you want to get good height on a jump when you're skating, you have to go down. You can't jump from standing up. If you want to get good height, you have to go down and jump around to be able to get good height and get all the way around. You can't be exalted unless you first go down. I told him at 8 o'clock, one of these weeks, I'm going to bring my skates in. Then no, I probably wouldn't do that. But we need to recognize that it is first going down before we go up. We have to understand our dependence. But when we lose sight of our dependence on God, we're like a man who's gasping for air with his head in a plastic bag. And he doesn't want to come to grips with the fact that he needs the air to breathe. You know, we've just got to take the plastic bag off our heads and come to grips with the fact that we need air to breathe. Just like as believers, we need God every step of our lives. We need the Spirit of God indwelling us. We can't make it on our own. We need Him. You know, when I was growing up, my dad used to always have a big fish tank in the house. And we had fish all the time. When they died, he bought more fish. And we always had these tropical fish in his tank. But every now and again, one of the fish would jump out of the tank. And I guess I conclude that what they want to do is they want to escape the confinement of that tank of water. It's almost as though the fish come to the decision that, you know what, I could live better outside the water if I can be free from the confinement of this tank. Well, the reality is that every one of those fish, they need water to live. And they might as well come to understand that their best chance of existence is in the water, in the tank. Well, it just speaks to you and I as believers, your best shot at an abundant life, your best shot at doing what God wants you to do and being successful is to live inside the tank, in the air, the water that God has given you, experiencing the power and the indwelling and an enablement of the Holy Spirit, recognizing that you are totally dependent on God. And so there is an upward way which leads downward, and there is a downward way of humility which leads upward. And the downward way of humility leads to God's exaltation. But the second thing I want you to see is also in verse 9 is not only that the humility is tied to the exaltation so that it is this road to exaltation, But I want you to also see that the restriction of our exaltation is the restriction of the exaltation of Christ, and that our exaltation is tied to the exaltation of Christ. Look at verse 9. He says, God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. How high is Jesus exalted? Come on, you got to talk to me today. How high is Jesus exalted? He is exalted above every name. His name is higher than any other name. There is no competition for Jesus. His name is exalted. And our exaltation is only limited by the exaltation of Christ. And there's no competition for him. You know, there's some people who they get on the news because of something that they've done, and they find themselves on CNN, and everybody's talking about them for a day. And then tomorrow, it's like, you know, you can't even remember who they were. They're gone. Their 15 minutes of fame is finished. Well, the reality is that that their names come and go. Names of presidents come and go. Oh, you know, in the 60s, it was JFK was the president everybody looked to. And today it's Obama. Everybody's talking about Obama. Tomorrow it might be somebody else. Names come and go, and personalities come and go, and politicians and celebrities come and go. But the name of Jesus is going to stand forever. There is no name that competes with the name of Jesus. And so he's been lifted up above every other name. And what I want you to understand is that as high as the name of Jesus is exalted, we are connected to and tied to Jesus. We are actually in Christ. And in Christ, we get exalted as high as Jesus is exalted. Now, I know you don't believe me, so let's look at some scripture. Flip back a couple of pages in your Bible to Ephesians chapter 1. And I want you to look at at Ephesians chapter 1, first of all, in verse 3. He tells us in Ephesians 1, verse 3, he said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies," where? In Christ. So in Christ, positionally, you and I are now already seated in the heavenlies. Now, I know you thought you're at 160 East Main Street, but the fact is that positionally, we are as good as in the heavenlies. Because when we pray, your prayer requests reach heaven. When you need help, all the help you need is right there, accessible from the Spirit of God. And Jesus is there sitting at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us, pleading on our behalf. We are positionally already seated in the heavenlies. And so we have this exaltation that we're already experiencing because we are in Christ. And when you look at the end of the chapter, Ephesians chapter 1, at the very end, the last two verses of that chapter, in verse 22 and 23, he says this. He says, "And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all." All that's simply saying is that, listen to me now, we are in Christ. Christ is exalted, and we benefit from that. You and I, we benefit from the exaltation of Christ because we are in Christ. And so the only limitation to your exaltation today is the limitation of Christ's exaltation. And we can praise God and we can worship God for that, because if we humble ourselves, we too, like Christ, will be exalted along with Christ and made to sit in the heavenlies. The big challenge then is for us to humble ourselves and become a part of the body of Christ. If you're sitting here today and you're not sure that you are in Christ, that you are a part of the body of Christ, then I want to challenge you today that you're like that fish that has jumped out of the tank. You're like that man who's trying to walk around gasping for air with his head in a plastic bag. And you'll never be able to live. You'll never be able to survive. You'll never experience life the way God wants you to experience it until you come to that place where you recognize your total dependence on God. And as you humble yourself and give your life to Christ, then you too will experience that exaltation. I like to put it this way. In Christ, I'm on an exaltation ride. And that doesn't mean that I'm on one of those roller coasters going to take you up and drop you down. The fact of the matter is, I am on a ride that's going to keep going up as far as Christ has been exalted all the way to the heavenlies. So the road to exaltation is humility. The restriction and limitation of our exaltation is Christ. But the reason for our exaltation is Jesus. You know, when they sang that song, I don't know why Jesus loved me. Well, Carol heard my message this morning. So she was like starting to preach my message. So I can skip over this point. No, I won't do that. But the reality is that there is a reason why. There is a reason why you have been placed in Christ. There is a reason why God is working on you. There is a reason why you are a part of the family of God. But let me burst your bubble a little bit. It has nothing to do with you. You thought it was about you. You thought it was because you were cute. You thought it was because you had some attribute. Well, no, it has nothing to do with you. It's all about Jesus. You know, and I don't know why Jesus loves me, but I know it was nothing to do with me. It's all about him. Now, let me give you a couple of examples. You know, at the end of the passage here, it says that all the glory goes to God. Well, God is the potter and we are the clay. And if you have a craftsman, if I have a craftsman who makes a piece of furniture and that craftsman forms this furniture and makes it very nice, the praise and the honor and the glory doesn't go to the piece of furniture. Come on now, y'all are looking at me like I'm crazy. It doesn't go to the piece of furniture. The praise and the honor and the glory go to the craftsman. Am I right? It'd be a waste of time to start bowing down to the piece of furniture. No, you give credit to the craftsman for what he was able to do. Well, in the same way, God is the potter and we're the clay. And when he pours his craftsmanship into us and he whittles us away and conforms us to the image of his son, and he winds up with this wonderful product that has been cleaned up and washed up and forgiven of sin and put there on the mantle, the praise and the honor doesn't go to the piece of clay. It doesn't go to the jar. It goes to the craftsman. It goes to the potter. He's the one that's worthy of all of our praise and all of our honor and glory. And so God's agenda in our exaltation is the exaltation of Jesus Christ. His purpose for calling us, his purpose for forgiving us, his purpose for cleaning us up, his reason for working with you in your life is all about honoring and glorifying his son. It's all about Jesus. And ultimately, the glory goes to the Father who exalted the Son, and we are found exalted in the Son as well. And so Jesus is the potter, and I'm the clay. My humility then in Christ is what results in exaltation. And then lastly, I want you to see that not only is the road to exaltation humility, not only is the restriction of our exaltation Christ, and not only is the reason for our exaltation Jesus, but the result of our exaltation is humble worship. The result of us coming to the place where we humble ourselves and experience the exaltation of Christ is that we would experience humble worship and offer humble worship to God. The text simply tells us where the universe is headed. Now follow me. The text is telling us that at the end of time, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. That's where the universe is going, where everybody will bow before God and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You might as well get on board, because that's where it's all headed. You might as well join the parade and march down the street, because that's where the universe is headed. Now, I mentioned this morning, you know, some people think that God must be egotistical to want everybody to worship him. You ever thought about that? You ever heard anybody say, God must be egotistical? What kind of God wants everybody to bow down before him? He must be on an ego trip or something. Well, it's not that God is on an ego trip, but God wants us to not live in some la-la land, some fantasy land. He wants you to have a realistic understanding of how the universe works. And let me tell you how the universe works. It's all in him and of him and through him that we have our being. All the credit goes to him. You know, I use the example of a mother who would go and spend all day in the kitchen fixing this wonderful meal for her family. And she sets it out on the table. Any mother who just spent all day sweating in the kitchen fixing this wonderful meal for their family would not want one of her children thinking that it was a neighbor down the street who did the work. That it was a neighbor down the street who put all that effort into it. No, any mother, she's not on an ego trip, but she wants her family to have a clear, realistic understanding of how this family works. And that this mother loves her family and cares about her children and provides for them. And any mother would want her kids to take the blinders off and have an understanding of how this family operates. And I guess what I'm saying is that's how God is. We as his children, he wants us to have a clear understanding of how the universe operates. He doesn't want us down here in some la-la land wandering around, not clear about how things go. And let me tell you how it goes. It all belongs to him. We owe him our everything. And so because of that, our exaltation results in humble worship.
We'll rejoin Dr. Hart for the conclusion of today's teaching, but first, we have a book you'll want to add to your spiritual arsenal. It's Dr. Hart's book, Winning is Everything. The Christian life is a life of battle, but it is ultimately a life of victory. This book will encourage you and lift your spirits in the midst of troubling times and the challenging circumstances of life. We'll send it to you for your gift of any size in support of our ministry. Stay tuned for the contact information at the close of the program. Once again, Dr. Hart.
The psalmist in Psalm 100 exhorts us to get on board and see that the Lord is good. He says, and his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. In 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7, Peter challenges us to humble ourselves, recognizing the mighty hand of God so that he may exalt us in due time. God wants us to see him in all of his power and all of his glory. Not to feed his ego, so that we would understand how great and wonderful he is. And then when we have the opportunity to experience God in that way, we will be able to turn to him in time of need. Peter understood that the road to exaltation is not kicking down the doors of opportunity. It's not scheming to get ahead. It's not stepping on the person's neck who's in front of you. It's not climbing over those that are beneath us, But the road to exaltation is simply humbling ourselves and giving our lives to God and allowing him to take control. You know, we sang that song earlier that God reigns. He's in charge. Anybody believe that? And I'm telling you, if God is in charge, you don't have to scheme. If God's in charge, you don't have to climb over anybody. If God's in charge, you don't have to lie and cheat. You don't have to do any of that stuff. You just humble yourself, recognize your dependence on him, and give your life to God. And he will take care of you. He will exalt you. Let me close with this, because I have the opportunity to read a lot of different surveys and information that comes to pastors. And one of the things that I read recently is that there's been a lot of discussion that people desire personal significance. And so church leaders are told that if you want to get people involved in ministry and doing things in the church, that you have to provide opportunities where they can experience personal significance, because that's what people want. People want to have personal significance. They want to feel like their life is not a waste of time, like they're making a meaningful contribution. And I guess what I say is that, you know, that presents a problem for me. Because the reality is that none of the ministry you do is going to provide personal significance. You can serve at the soup kitchen Sunday through Saturday, and it's not going to provide personal significance. You can do ministry for the homeless, and certainly we should, because that's what Jesus would do. But that's not going to provide personal significance. There's nothing that you can do that's going to provide and fill that void for personal significance. We need to come to grips with the fact that our only significant, the only significance that we have is the fact that we are a child of God.
We are grateful for the opportunity to sow the seed of God's word into your life. Please reach out and let us know that you've been blessed by our broadcast. And don't forget to take advantage of our new offer. We also invite you to send us your prayer requests. We look forward to hearing from you. Our mailing address is GOGF Ministries, 158 East Main Street, Lansdale, PA, 19446. Our online address is www.gogfministries.org. Our office phone number is 215-361-8111. For Dr. Tony Hart, our producer, Pastor Sam Butler, and all of us here at the GOGF, I'm Sheila King, reminding you that we are more than conquerors through him who loves us.